as a kid, when you meet other kids coming into your home, you go all in. Like, little kids are like magical and sweet and like love really deeply. And like, you loved everybody that came in as if it was like this new best friend sibling that came in. And I think that that also made the goodbyes really hard. Like, kids don't protect their heart in that way.
Welcome to the Future is Family podcast, brought to you by Umbrella, a foster care nonprofit dedicated to promoting an enhanced understanding of foster and kinship care and serving as a catalyst for positive change in the child welfare community. I'm your host, Rachel. On this episode, I sat down with Rachel D'Agostino, a trauma counselor with the desire to support others in their unique journeys. She brings authenticity and compassion to all of her sessions with a focus on personal wellness. Growing up, she was a biological child in a family who fostered around 30 children and a childhood friend of mine.
Like, so what is the kind of the earliest thing you remember? I don't know when you started foster, your family started fostering, but what do you remember kind of from the earliest times that you recall?
So initially, we weren't going into this to start fostering. My parents were talking to us about adopting. They started going through all of the courses. And I think it probably starts there. Like, I remember going into Philly. That's where they had originally signed up to do, you know, the adoption. I remember my earliest memories is going into the city and they would have a room where they would have childcare. And we would go, Sarah and I, and we would sit in the other room and we would play. I remember it being really long and that it was happening frequently, right? We were going in so that they could take these courses. I was probably in kindergarten at the time. We did get matched with a family. There was three siblings. And I think as a kid, I didn't really understand what that meant. But when we watched the video of the children, there was a video included. I think I was confused. I wasn't really sure what that meant, like, oh, kids are coming to stay with us forever. I didn't really understand.
I wonder if, like, you being confused was part of why they didn't go through with the initial adoption that they were thinking about doing. Do you know, like, about that?
Well, I can tell you, I know that this sounds, like, as an adult, I'm like, so silly. But as a kid, I remember watching the video and one of the kids kept saying the word, saying that their favorite food was Pischetti. And I was like, we're Italian. They have to know how to say spaghetti. I don't know if this is the right house. And like, you know, that's such like a little kid's understanding of that. And that's really silly. But I think it was also kind of highlighting that we like weren't sure and like we didn't understand the magnitude of what adoption meant at the time. And I think that that was like the child way of being like, no. And during that time, we got a call. And that call was from, you know, the foster services in Philadelphia. They were reaching out because they had two teenage sisters who needed a respite placement. And I guess they had gone through the list of foster placements and no one was available. And so they had reached out to some of the people who were looking to adopt saying, you know, we've already done the home study. We know that your home is safe. Would you be willing to try this? They said, we thought of you guys because you guys are Italian and the two girls are also Italian and from a similar area that my dad had grown up. And that's where I met my sister, Christy. So her and her sister had, you know, come to our house and it was supposed to be something that was just a respite situation. And that turned into much longer. And it actually sort of started the foster care journey that we had. As a kid, when you meet other kids coming into your home, you go all in. Like, little kids are like magical and sweet and like love really deeply. And like, you loved everybody that came in as if it was like this new best friend sibling that came in. And I think that that also made the goodbyes really hard. Like, kids don't protect their heart in that way.
Like, do you think that having that kind of experience of going all in so many times, because you said that like it was like 30 times, and obviously it was probably, you know, different with different people, that, you know, how much you connected and stuff, but Do you think that has impacted like the way you connect with people, and how do you think it has impacted?
Probably definitely more so in early adulthood. I think it made me like guard my heart a little bit more, and feel a little bit more guarded. But maybe also within foster care, right? You're meeting people and you're meeting people in a really intimate way, right? Like they're coming into your home and you're sort of knowing more about someone than you would like if you just met them and let things unfold in a more natural situation, right? You're kind of like put into the situation and everything's sped up. I think sometimes I could walk into situations like guarding my heart, but also expecting to know like everything about you. And like that's just not typically how we're meeting people. The transient nature of that definitely left an impression.
Yeah, that is a really interesting take on it, like the kind of double-sidedness of it, like the intimacy, but also the guardedness is a really interesting thing to think about. I hadn't thought about that, like what you said about that sped upness. That's a really great point. I haven't heard anyone like kind of communicate that way of knowing or like way of meeting someone before. That's really interesting. Well, now I'm just thinking about, so kind of back to Christy and her sister, how long did they end up staying with you, or like what did that kind of look like from your perspective?
Initially, like I think something that I sort of learned quickly as a kid is like a lot of times, like with the foster placements, the information that we got wasn't always very transparent. You know, initially we thought that Stephanie and Christy were going to be younger. We were told that they were younger and then they were older. And Sarah and I were just like over the moon to have like two really cool girls come into our house that like we just wanted to play with them and like hang out. And I'm sure they were like, oh gosh, like here are these little girls that won't leave us alone. But we were just so excited. So the first time that they came, they stayed for a few weeks. It was supposed to be just a few nights. We loved having them. And then because we technically weren't like under the foster care umbrella within Philadelphia and we were in New Jersey, had to be moved to a placement that was in the state of Pennsylvania. So they did, but we stayed in touch. And so we would visit them a lot on the weekends. They were allowed to like come and have like sleepovers at our house. And like sometimes we would like go to church with them. We got to see them. And then they did come back and stay with us again for a period of time. And then again, they moved. They moved a lot. And then we moved from Merchantville to Haddon Township, and they got to come back, and you know they stayed for much longer this time, and then they were actually presented with the option to go back home. This is like her story to share, so I don't want to get too much into that, but you know eventually they did make the choice that they wanted to have parental legal guardianship, and I guess in my mind, like as a kid, I didn't understand that, so I just always said like, I have a sister who's adopted, right? That's kind of how I understood that. So that was the choice that, you know, Christy made. And she was, I guess, a freshman in high school at the time. And so, like, at that point, she was able to weigh in and, you know, help make that decision. Because when I first met Christy, I was in kindergarten. So I was six. And I think when the parental legal guardianship took place, 15, I was about nine. Well, I guess it seems longer in my mind, but
Also, just like 3 years as a kid does feel long too, just because like so much is new and so much, it just, that is the way that time works. It's just like the time, like the amount of memories that are created in 3 years from kindergarten to, what grade did you say? Second, third.
guess I would have been in third
Yeah.
grade, maybe fourth
Like
grade.
that's, I mean, it's just like it is much more time, you know, like emotionally.
And so whenever kids came, we were all home. And that was sort of like the expectation. And we would meet whoever was coming and greet them. And it was sort of like it would be a night where it would be easy food. We would have pizza, we would have dessert. And it would be sort of just like a laid back night where you can meet people, but also making sure that like we were around, because it does sort of take the pressure off. And I think that there's something really interesting about having children already in the home, because I think that it helped kids open up, right? Like, it's much easier to come and sit on the couch next to another kid and watch cartoons than it is to go sit in the kitchen with this new woman that you've never met. Well, for one thing, when we moved, our parents moved into a house that was larger than we had lived in before. And when kids would come, they would be like, wow, this is a really big house. And I mean, we were kind of feeling the same thing because we had just moved and we're like, yeah, it is big. Like, it's really different than the house that we lived in before. And I think, there is that sort of like, I mean, like kids showing up with a trash bag, like that's a real situation. People are showing up and, it's really scary to have to quickly grab items and show up at a place that you've never been before. I think like this is also something that's through like a child's eyes, but as a kid, I loved shopping, right? And there was this opportunity to go shopping with kids when they came. And I think as a kid, I was like, I love shopping. I want to come. But I think it was also like it highlighted just the need that was there, right? Like kids were coming and they didn't get to bring really anything. And I mean, I guess like just thinking about like how many things through the day, just as an adult, that I have is like comfort items or things that I love or my comfy clothes, like, just those things that we have, like you're kind of starting from scratch. And so it was this opportunity to go. And it was interesting. Like sometimes kids would say, like, I've never got to pick my own clothes before, or my own like personal items before. And it was something that, of course, not under the best circumstances, or, I know that they wouldn't have chosen that, but they also got to like sort of make some choices for themselves and like choose some things that would help them feel comfortable in a situation that's uncomfortable.
I feel like it is such a experience that highlights so many of those like multiple truths, like especially what you just brought up of like sometimes kids being able to go shopping for something in a way that they hadn't been able to maybe before. I mean, that's like, just an anecdotal experience. But there is a lot of like holding multiple truths, like, oh, you liked going shopping, even though this is like not a great situation. It's like all of these things can be true at one time of thing, which is happens all the time in life, but I think that certain situations like highlight it more like sharply or more like explicitly, and I think foster care is one of those situations sometimes.
And I think just highlights like there is like great grief happening around people. And like we were also kids and we were kids doing normal kid things, like the excitement of like going to the store and getting to pick out a special treat and like the giddiness that comes with that, while also like acknowledging like the magnitude of shopping for things because you've had to leave your items behind all mixed up in one. Like it's just, but we were just kids going to the store.
Yeah, absolutely. And so then there's kind of this like micro and macro portion of it too, like the presentness of the experience and then the larger experience.
At a young age, though, it highlighted that there were kids that needed help or kids that had situations that maybe were unsafe at times, or that I don't know. I mean, I think it just made me really grateful as a kid and highlighted that not everyone had a situation where they had three meals a day or had a loving place to be at night, or, had siblings that they got to play with and have fun with in a safe way. So I think we understood that pretty early and got to like intimately understand that.
Which kind of goes into the question of like, I have this question of like, was fostering challenging and was it joyful?
There were times where it was really challenging. I think especially when I was really little, and I think more so when I was young and there were other kids either the same age or younger. And inevitably, kids would need comfort, and that might look like hugs or being held by my parents. I think at first that was hard to understand. And there was maybe some jealousy or upset there about, I guess, sharing your parent in that way. As an older kid, it was a gift. It'll make me emotional, but like, I really love my parents. And I think it was a gift to be able to share them with kids in a time where they needed like safety and love. And they were able to give that to a lot of kids. And I think that they also like taught us to be able to do that too. And like to be able to provide that safety to people in a time where they really needed it.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. Gosh. That makes a lot of sense, that it would have like both of those kind of emotions surrounding it. It must be really cool to see your parents in that role. Yeah, not everybody gets to see their parents kind of give care to younger children in that way, especially if they don't have younger siblings or, you know, things like that. So that's really interesting. And it also makes a lot of sense that as like a younger child, it would be confusing to see your parent, my mommy, my dad, you know, giving affection to someone else.
You know, my mom did the best that she could to sort of like highlight, you know, that my feelings were valid in that, and that, you know, also kids that were with us needed care and affection and, you know, attention. And she would try to talk about, you know, I think just the trauma, but like in a kid-friendly way to help us understand that. Like, I know that I look back now and I think things that maybe like as a kid we would get like frustrated or didn't understand. Like, I look back now and I'm like, that was trauma, right? Like, those are all trauma responses. And I mean, like, as an adult, like this like touched my heart in such a way that like I went on and my first job as a therapist was worked with kids who were had just been adopted or were planning to be adopted. Just seeing that full circle, right? Like as an adult and understanding just the behaviors that were coming up. I think it's really easy as a kid to be like frustrated by behaviors when kids are overwhelmed and acting out. And like as an adult being like trauma, like this is trying to process, you know, a really hard situation. And of course they have big feels around that.
Yeah, that's really cool that you have that was like your first job and that you came back to it with like just such an informed lens.
I think it's also important to note that like we think about them and like wonder about how they're doing. And I mean, it's been years and years, but like I still like think about them and like send them so much love and like have a special place in my heart for like that time in my life. I mean, I remember there was a girl who was my age that came to stay with her family for a few months, and we were in the same class at school because we were the same age, and we got so close. And I mean, when she left, I remember like, you know, the goodbyes are typically kind of quick, and you know, we said our goodbyes at home, and then they got picked up at school that day. And so I got to walk down to the office with them. You know, our class said goodbye, and then it was kind of like, okay, just back to class after. And I remember like standing in the stairwell, like crying, and then going back to class and, you know, just like expecting to carry on with the rest of your day. And that was just kind of it. But I mean, you've just lived with someone for months and were so close with them and, you know, went to school and shared the same classroom for a few months. You know, the goodbyes were really hard as a kid to understand because, again, you just jumped all in with like the love part of that. And you know, it's interesting. I remember seeing like friends that I grew up with probably last year or 2 years ago, just at the bar over the holidays. And like one of the guys that I grew up with, you know, told me that he had a crush on her growing up and asked me if I knew, you know, how things had turned out or how she was doing. And I don't know. You know, she didn't just touch our family, right? Like it was bigger than that. Like she knew people that I went to school with, and they think about her too. And like, you know, like the magnitude of that is greater than just our home, right? Like she had a whole life there for that period of time.
That's so beautiful and sad and hard. And I wonder, like, because of course, like the first, like something that comes to mind is like, I wonder if there's ways to make it easier, but like, I don't know, like, do you have thoughts on that or?
I mean, I think in the same way, like with adoption, you know, there's a lot for parents, which rightly so, that's needed. But I do think that there maybe could be a way that we incorporate like children in the home in those trainings to help them understand and there's so much nuance to that that I'm sure, like, for little kids to understand, it may not be fully, but I think to just have maybe some preparation and something about, like, the goodbye aspect of that. But I think that there's also really something beautiful about kids, like, not guarding their hearts and being just, like, fully lovable little creatures that show up and, like, want to just be kids. Like, that I don't know that I would want to, like, take that away from them, but also maybe, like, just talk about that a little bit. Because I think those goodbyes are hard. Now, as a therapist, there's something that can be really magical about goodbyes. Like, you have the opportunity to say goodbye on good terms. People don't always get that experience, but I think in foster care, we did. It was sad, but it wasn't on bad terms. Like, you got to meet someone and love them and, like, wish them the best and hope that they go on and, like, get to be reunited with their family and be in a safe and loving home. And, like, we weren't leaving on bad terms, but it was still hard doing well and finding joy in their life. So, I mean, there was a lot of joy. And it's just a really unique experience. But yeah, lots of joy.
Yeah, that's a really beautiful take on it to like cherish and value that it's a goodbye that is like a beautiful goodbye, hopefully, you know. Yeah.
I was curious what Rachel's relationship is like with her sister, Christy, now.
Yeah, and you're kind of in the situation too where like, you know, you Christy is still like a really big is she's part of your family, you know? And like
She's my sister. I think as adults, we've got to sort of navigate what that means, like, while also honoring that she has, a sis she has siblings, she has her biological family, and she also has us. And so I think there is, a delicate balance of honoring that you love both families and that, like, both are true at this very same time. And, you have amazing people in your life. And so I think, like, as adults, we kind of started using those terms more, like, we're sisters and we love each other and we're there for each other. And I think also, like, I grew up, right? Like, I was, like, the annoying little sister who, like, probably just, like, terrorized them. So, like, as adults, getting to meet each other and, like, really get to, like, know each other and be a part of our lives just in a different way. I mean, she's married and has a son, and, like, she made me an aunt, and, like, that's been the coolest experience. And I mean, my other sister just had a baby, so it's really cool to kind of see our family grow. We're sisters. Family's blood, but family's also, like, who you choose to be your family. I think at the end of the day, like, the one thing I hoped that I would be able to share was just that, like, people are not forgotten, and that, like, we remember them and think of them and, wish them well. And so, if, like, I don't know if they would ever listen to this, but if they did, like, sending all my love to them.
Thank you so much for listening. This has been the Futures Family Podcast, brought to you by Umbrella, a foster care nonprofit. For more information, visit www.umbrella.org or follow us on social media on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube at umbrella.nj or on LinkedIn at umbrella. Tune in next time on the Futures Family Podcast. Thank you.